Okay, I'll start with an injury report. Gary Rowan, who couldn't finish the game with a head knock last week, appears to have recovered pretty well, but as we always say with concussion, it's too early to be definitive as to his availability, but I guess we're still optimistic is the most thorough description we can give. Radigalia, who was line ball with a hamstring strain, probably was available last week, but we took the conservative approach, which means he'll be available this week, barring something completely unexpected. Sam Menegola has been a little bit slower with that post-knee surgery recovery than we would have liked. That in part is because they did a little bit more around the site of the injury than they were hoping to, but it's a matter of a couple of weeks, we think. So he's virtually back in full training now, and we'll just need to see how he progresses before we can give a definitive date on his return. But we'd think it's somewhere in the sort of 2 to 3 week range back to playing. Lockie Henderson had a bit of a knock to his AC joint in his shoulder, but he'll be available. And Nakai Cockatoo, he's progressing well, so he's making... he's looking the best he's looked for 12 months, but still some way off playing, we think. And as you know, we'll probably get to the stage where we think he's available and then wait another couple of weeks. So just try to stay patient with him as we will. Did I miss anyone you want to talk about?
So Jack Henry obviously didn't end up with a belly full of broken ribs then, so he's okay. Did he need to be checked at all after that hit from Hamish Hartlett?
No, he's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Just Dalhouse and Tim Kelly,
is
anything with those two?
Because for the first time all year, they didn't play as well as they have.
Well, both sets have been time off late.
Dalhouse tweaked an ankle a little bit,
yeah.
but so minor that it's not even on our
yeah.
on our list. So he'll train today. No, Tim Kelly's fine as well, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I tend to know.
Chris, did Joel Selwood have a slight knee issue? There's some talk of some knee tendonitis. Is that on the mark, off the mark?
Joel's had a knee, I guess it's, yeah, I can be general and call it a knee-related issue all year. Yeah, so he's probably in better shape now that he's been throughout the course of the season. Generally.
Has it been limiting him?
Yeah, it has, yeah.
How was it like for him?
He thought he was better for the week off, but it's not an issue that 1 week off is going to fix completely. So he's in that big group of players. Let's say 60% of AFL players who are carrying little niggles through games most weeks. He had a couple of weeks off earlier in the season with something unrelated, but it did help that problem a bit. But again, it's not significant enough for us to be thinking that playing is holding him back. If anything, he's getting better week by week.
Is that in part related to his role that he's playing, or is it totally separate? The role that he's playing a bit more outside as opposed to the inside midfield role?
No, totally separate.
How do you assess the loss a few days after it? You haven't had to experience that losing feeling for a while?
No, I don't like it. None of us do. And we didn't like the way we played. I think the 11-point margin wasn't a true reflection of the difference between the two teams on the night. And I've said post-game, and I'll say it again, that sometimes you just get beaten by a better team on the night. So I don't really like the implication when you lose, saying we were just terrible. You know, the opposition deserves some credit for the way they played as well. And they took some of our game away from us, and particularly around the ball. So it's not complicated. The things that we focused on were around the clearances were obliterated there, and then by extension the contested ball. It's it's hard to get beaten so badly at the clearances and then break even at the contested ball. But so they were probably the two things, and they're closely linked that really gave Port the impetus. I guess the positive, if we were, and there weren't that many from the game, was that we found a way to hang in there and had some sort of chance to win the game. Certainly at three-quarter time, 9 points down. And I think it is the measure of a team that's getting better, that when you do have a really bad night, and you could even go a step further and isolate it to some of the individuals who had really bad nights, uncharacteristically bad nights, but we were still sort of thereabouts and didn't turn up our toes. So I don't know what it means for this week, really, except that if we had a one by 11 points, our aim would be to improve and try to play better this week, and it should be the same, even though we went down by 11 points.
Chris, I've heard you answer this before, so forgive me, but as the focus this week has been less on the post-bye curse and more on the slow starts that have been happening this year?
No, we're focusing on the fact that the game post-bye, we've won 8 in a row. Because if the curse means something, then this must mean something as well. You can't have it both ways. I mean, obviously, that record means nothing in my mind. But the slow starts is a little bit... certainly it was an issue that we were focused on through our off-season. But even that's a bit superficial. It's not so much the start of games necessarily. It's just patches within games where we've been poor. So we played very well against Richmond, but we had a poor 15 or 20-minute period, and I think the really good sides through history are consistent, and I think it's not something that we were unaware of, but it is a reminder that we're far from the perfect team. We don't even buy into the fact that because we're on top of the ladder, that makes us the best team. Anyone that watches on the weekend wouldn't be scared of Geelong. But we do have a team that's improved a lot this year, and we think there's a lot of improvement left in them. There's still some inexperience that traditionally means you might be a bit inconsistent within games. So don't choose to believe that that means we're accepting of those patches. We're not. We're working really hard to make sure that if we do sense those things happening in games, we can arrest it really quickly, as we did in the game against Richmond.
Is there something you've identified from the preparation on this week's bye that you've taken 8 weeks, because it's going to be inevitable that you do have a week off in 8 weeks leading to a big final?
Yeah, it's very different period, the week off going into a finals series, as opposed to the mid-season bye, when you tend to have very different physical preparation priorities, given that there's probably only, a few games to go in the season. We don't make any apologies for making an investment at this time of the year in the way our players are going to be prepared for later in the year. And to be brutally honest, if that means we're not quite at our best for the game post-bye, then we're prepared to accept that. Some people might think that that's a mistake, but it's not their decision to make.
So does that mean you're going through a tough training phase over this month in the middle part of the season, or...?
Well, you've extrapolated something that I didn't necessarily say. Those sort of things are considerations that we take into account when we design our program. The other part would be some players actually need less, and they need to be nursed a little bit through that period and make the most of the opportunity for some rest and rejuvenation. So the honest answer is that it is a bit individual, but I think the takeaway is, to be as honest as I possibly can in this forum, the absolute priority is having our list and our team in as good a shape as we can when it really counts. And last week was an important game for us, but I don't think we'll look back on the season and say that was the most important game of our season. Hopefully.
Is ruck still an interesting position for you? Bruce's been going really well, but probably regressed last week.
Yeah, there's some competitive tension there. There's no doubt about that. Lysette played really well. So that was a bit symbolic of the performance of the teams. You know, sometimes good players just get beaten by their opponents. Even the best players get beaten occasionally. So that was clearly the case with Reece. But we're not thinking that all of a sudden we're back to square one with him. But there is some competitive tension. Zach Smith was very close to selection. We chose to play Darcy Fort, probably because we played him a little bit more forward than Zach, and Ryan Abbott dominated the VFL on the weekend. So Radaglia will be back in terms of availability this week. So, yeah, I think that tension's a positive thing. Maybe not so much for them, but our experience tells us with our guys that they tend to embrace, the competition for spots, as opposed to, get spooked by it.
Who else is banging down the door in the VFL? Chris?
Yeah, in no particular order. Scott Selwood, Lachie Fogarty been back for a while. Charlie Constable continues to play well, as he does. Sam Simpson played really well on the weekend. And then a couple of key position players, Ryan Abbott, as I mentioned, in the ruck, and Wiley Buzzer has been playing well. Nathan Kruger's worthy of a mention too. He's progressing nicely. So slowly but surely we're getting some depth and a big group of guys that we'd be happy to play in the AFL team in any given week.
What do you like about Nathan Kruger, Chris?
Well, he's a really mobile key position player, which gives him some options away from his preferred position, which for us at the moment is probably as a sort of second, third tall forward. But he's shown the capacity to play down back because his speed and agility and competitiveness is really strong. So there is a very good case to say that with his attributes that he'd complement some of the other big guys that we have down our forward line, certainly not take away from our ability to pressure.
How do you weigh up selection comparing the guys that have done the job for 12, 13 weeks versus the guys that have been banging down the door, as you say, in the VFL?
You know, it's not necessarily the fault of the guys that have been in the VFL that they haven't exactly taken their chance, because it's not their fault they're injured, and they may well have got their opportunity early in the season and been in the position where they were hard to dislodge. So you describe it as a balance, and that's, I think that's a good descriptor, because it's not necessarily about form week to week for us. We're trying to develop a big squad, and we have every intention of using those guys throughout the next 9 games. It's just a matter of when they come in and who goes out for them. And I think I'm prepared to say in this forum that we will leave some guys out throughout the next couple of months for reasons other than form. And the main reason to leave them out will be to get some of those guys that I mentioned in.
You made a comment on the weekend that when things weren't going well and early in the game, there was seemed to be a bit desperate to try and change things, and that might have compounded the result on the weekend. Is that a balance that someone like Joel Selwood has deciding when he's got to try and change the game and put himself into the midfield? Is that sort of what you were...
No, it wasn't isolated to Joel necessarily. It was more a specific reference to the stoppages and the clearances. So, I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail, but we would prefer when things aren't going well that the players take on the responsibility to try to change it, but don't shift so much that it goes outside of the original plans. And I mean, we're talking, you know, stuff right at the, you know, at the margin. It's not as if they're saying they're throwing out the game plan and just doing whatever they want. It's more just, I think it's for the right reasons, doing slightly the wrong things.
Sure.
Does the 6-day break give you enough time to train the contested footy that you lacked in last week?
Yeah, it does. It does. But we don't think it's something that we need to go back to the drawing board and train, right from square one. There are a few little things that we can train to get us more in the right mindset, but we don't think that it's a technical thing necessarily. We think there's some structural things that will help it. It's amazing how much, particularly the ground balls away from congestion can be impacted by the way you set up. I think the go-to generally is when those numbers are what they are, it's a reflection of work rate or effort. I think that's part of it, but I dispute the fact it's the main part. So we'll have plenty of time to rectify what we need to.
What do Adelaide do well in the afternoon?
Well, they've changed the game a little bit from when we played them round 3, so it would be a mistake to look at that game and say, well, let's just do what we did that game. I think, as we say quite a bit, the AFL season ebbs and flows a lot, and teams do shift within season, so it's important to stay across the team they are over the last 8 weeks when they've won most of their games, as opposed to relying on what we think they've been in the past, which is why I continually say, what happened last year or 5 years ago just doesn't matter to people that know what they're talking about. But they've clearly been good. I think they won, 7 out of their last 9? And turning around their defensive numbers quite a bit. So, you know, only they know exactly why they have shifted some of those things, but it's certainly been effective.
Saw Tom Hawkins speaking yesterday about his game. How disappointed have you seen him in here about the way he performed against the Power?
Not very disappointed at all, to be honest, and I commend him for that, because we're trying to build an environment over a long period of time, so we're talking years, where the mood of the place is pretty similar whether we win or whether we lose. And I think that's a measure of a good organisation and good operators. We, as I tried to say post-game, I'm not sure whether I articulated it particularly well, but we acknowledge that sometimes we're going to get beaten and we're going to have poor days, but we don't accept that that has to translate into a number of poor performances in a row. It will happen, but we've just got to work as hard as we can to ensure it doesn't happen this week. So we just don't hang individuals here. Unfortunately, it's a cutthroat industry. At the end of the year, we'll have to delist some players. That's the rules. But no, we win and lose together, and I think Tom's been symbolic of that.